Church, it is great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church of Christ. I do want to say, as Justin mentioned earlier, we appreciate those who are with us, both members and visitors alike. And so if you are visiting, please know you are our honored guests, and we want you to come back and be a part of our services anytime that you are available. And we certainly want our members to do that as well. We started last week a series of lessons, what I believe to be a series of lessons on worship. We have a theme this year, as you can see on the stage behind me, to my right and my left, of elevate. We want to elevate our God. We want to elevate our lives closer to God. And one of the greatest ways we can do that is to elevate our worship to Him. Last week we talked, and we'll mention even this week in one of our points, the importance of worshiping God daily. Today is the first day of the week. We have started our week out the right way. You're here today, and it's great to see you. I am so thankful you all are here. It's such an encouragement to me. It's an encouragement to others, but most importantly, it will be an encouragement to you because we're here to draw near to God. And because you're here today, I want to remind you that today shouldn't be the last day we worship God. Tomorrow, we need to have daily devotion to God. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, etc. All the days of our lives, we should find time devoting ourselves to God. Today, I want to start in the Old Testament and get into the New Testament. I want this to be a thought-provoking lesson today, a challenging lesson, and one that motivates us both wherever we are in our walk with God or if we haven't begun yet our walk with God. In order to do this, though, I want you to join me in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel 3 is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You will recall that they are now exiled to a land that does not know their God. They are captured, when I say they, that is Israel, right, the nation of Israel. God has allowed them to be taken captivity at first under Daniel's story by the Babylonians. King Nebuchadnezzar, very powerful king, only because God allowed him to be, but he was to teach Israel a lesson. But he was a very powerful king, and because he was a very powerful king, like most kings, he thought very highly of himself. And you will recall that he has, in Daniel 3, had made an image some 90 feet tall, right? This huge image. Many say it may have even been a statue of him. But no matter what, it was a statue of his likeness, one that he approved, one that he wanted. And because he was so powerful, and because he could do whatever he wanted, he made a command by a herald to tell the people that when the music plays, all those instruments it mentions there in Daniel 3, when all those instruments come together in a symphony of music, I want my people, whatever they're doing, if you're eating your dinner, if you're working in the field, if you are walking your children, whatever it may be, you will stop, because this thing is so big they could see it from a lot of places, right? You will stop and you will bow down while that music is playing and worship my idol. Now, here's the issue with that. Under the old law, and even still today, God doesn't want any other gods before Him. And I'm fascinated by Daniel's story in general, but right here in Daniel 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I'm also disappointed because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not the only three Israelites who knew the law. There were a lot of them who knew the law. They had studied it since they were born. Remember, in Deuteronomy, Moses taught them, you need to do this by the time you get up in the morning. It needs to be as a binding between your eyes, wear it on your neck, put it on the doorpost, put it on the gatepost. From the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed, you need to talk about the law. You need to understand the importance of the law. And so because of that, there were a lot of them who should have known this. But to our knowledge, there are three of them, and I know Daniel was. Daniel had to be in another province right now is all I can figure. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not only knowledgeable of the law, they were convicted, right? Here's what it says, though, when they don't bow down. Daniel 3, beginning in verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Exactly what a king would have wanted to hear, right? Flatter him. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, listen to this, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And I'm sure the king is saying, you're right, that is the law I made, and you know, I've gotten a good report. People are doing exactly what I told them to do, but they're going to let them know differently. This is verse 12 now. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Now, I know we could go into the whole story, but I'm not going to go with the whole story because I believe for the most part we know how that one turns out. Remember, he commands them, he's angry. They tell them, King, we don't have any reason to answer you in this, but we will. We won't bow down. Our God will save us. Even if He doesn't, let it be known to you, O king, we won't bow down. Throws three men into the fiery furnace. It's turned up seven times hotter. He looks in. They're not burned up. In fact, he doesn't see three anymore. He sees four. The fourth is likened to the Son of God. Changes everything, right? But right here, what a testament to the conviction that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had about worship. Do not bow down when the music plays. Maybe that's what we should have titled this lesson. Because I want you to think about this. There's no king or dictator who's told us that when this happens, you worship this way. But unfortunately, because of the surroundings we're in, and how easy it is to get into sin around us, the devil's still playing the music. Pick your golden image. It may not be a statue, but it may be money. It may be power. It may be social media. It may be job. It may be family. It may be extracurricular activities. It may be fill in the blank. What is our 90-foot image in our lives that when the music plays, even if I don't want to, I bow down to that? You see, our God's so much bigger than a 90-foot golden image. Our God is so much bigger than anything. He is so vast, we can't even fathom it. But the question has to be, as I read through Daniel 3, 8 through 12, what stopped Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from bowing down and worshiping the image, even though the furnace was going to be in their future? Therefore, if what stopped them, the question has to be, what will stop us? I suggest to you, it's because they had a fire already burning in them. They didn't need a fire to burn them on the outside. They didn't care about a fire to burn them on the outside because they had such a fire burning in their hearts to prostrate themselves, not before little G-O-D, but before Jehovah G-O-D. And that same fire that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had has to be in us today if we're going to ignore the music that's playing all around us. In John chapter 4, Scott, you did a great job reading that. I read this a couple Wednesday nights ago. Scott read it this morning. I'm going to read it again right now. Please try to listen to this and pick up on the very positive repetitiveness of our Lord. John 4:21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem," I'm going to try to emphasize it for you so you don't have to figure out too hard, "worship the Father." You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship Father, the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Eight times. Eight times in four verses, Christ mentions at least a form of the word worship. Christ is saying to this woman who was not living the way she should, and perhaps even come from a generation of people that hated Him, or at least hated His nationality, He's saying to her, you got to have a fire in you. You've got to have a desire in you. Because the time's coming when it doesn't matter if it's on this mountain, it's in a synagogue, it doesn't matter if it's in wherever, there is coming a moment in time when I'm going to ask the true worshipers to start worshiping. That hour, He said, has come. He's saying this to this lady because He is looking for those who are hungry and burning inside for true worship. Here's a bullet point for you. Today, April 25th, 2021, God is still in search for those who are hungering and burning with desire for true worship. There are a lot of people today that are trying to redefine how God is to be worshipped. But at the end of the day, what He said in John 4 is what He still wants to be held true. And I think as we go through this lesson today, it will help us understand that in order to fill up a building, it doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be whatever kind of show that you could imagine. The best way to fill up the building today is with those who have a desire in their heart for true worship. It doesn't matter if the song's old. It doesn't matter if the song's new. It doesn't matter if the scripture reader reads it with broken English, stutters, whatever, right? And we're going to talk more about that because I'm not here to be entertained. I am here because I have a fire in my heart to worship truly the one and only true living God. And if I do not have that fire in my heart, I better check myself. If I'm here for all the wrong reasons, I need to check myself. Because when it comes to my soul, I do not want to play any kind of roulette with it. I do not want to gamble with my soul. If I miss heaven, I've missed it all. And do not sit here and let's think that it doesn't matter how long I've been apart. It doesn't matter how long I'm going to come here. I'm going to check it off. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be my wannabe. I'm going to run my mouth the way I want to run my mouth. And don't think that doesn't matter, because it does. God is not interested in fake. He's interested in true. And that desire has to be in us. So what are we going to do? Today we're going to ask ourselves three questions. Number one, how am I worshiping God? And I think we need to make it personal. Number two, do I worship God as the audience? And number three, do I have personal daily worship to God? What we talked a lot about last week. Why is this important? I liken you back to what I said in the beginning. The music's still playing. There's still a lot of 90-foot idols out there. We're gonna bow down to something. Folks, if you discovered a people today that no one had ever laid eyes on, in the remotest, most secluded place on the planet, wherever that is, right? We spent some time and we came across a group of people and we observed them for a week or so. Eventually, now it may be a stick, it may be a skull, it may be a tree, it may be a something else, but we will observe them worshiping. Because God wrote on our DNA a desire to worship. But that desire, that fire, has to be for the true God. The same God Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were wanting to worship. So question number one. It's a very simple question. How am I worshiping God? Now, I can tell you how as a church we're worshiping God. That's very easy. It's very easy for us as an eldership to get together, look at the book, and tell you how to worship God. What I cannot tell you is how you are worshiping God. Oh no, I can see you sitting here. And I can listen to our voices harmonize and all that, but I can't get inside you, just like you can't get inside me. I can't even know exactly how my wife is worshiping. Why? Because I'm not her. So we've got to make this very personal today. That's why I didn't say, how are we worshiping God? I did that on purpose. I said, how am I? Make it personal. I said this last week. The Hebrew word for worship, shakah, is used in, I said that was the word, but I want you to know it's used in passages such as Genesis 22 verse 5. This is shakah. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, shakah, and we will come back to you. It's also used in Exodus 4:31. So the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that He had looked on their affection, then they bowed their heads and shakah, worshipped. Now the Greek word, which is more probably interesting to us because that's the New Testament, it's written in Koine Greek, it is proskuneo. It's used in passages like Matthew 2 verse 2, saying, where is He who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and have come to proskuneo, or worship Him. By the way, it's also the same word that is used all eight times in John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. Shakah, proskuneo. That's Old Testament, that's New Testament. It's the word worship. The Old Testament's written under the Hebrew. The New Testament written under Koine Greek. We are bound by the new law. So let's put it all together. What does the word mean? Certainly it must have changed meanings from the way they did it in the Old Testament to the way they did in the New Testament. The answer to that is, it didn't. The word literally means, as I said last week, to prostrate oneself, to fall down on one's face. Now, I'm not saying today that we expect you to do that. But it is the act that is burning in our heart. Am I giving my heart? God is here in the middle of us. Am I prostrating my life? Am I laying down my life before God and pouring out my heart to Him? If the answer to that is yes, then don't worry about your worship. you're in great shape. But if the answer to that is no, I sing when I want to sing, I might follow along with a prayer if I fill up to it, I might even pray myself if I fill up to it, when the ninth man comes up here and I partake of the only man right now comes up here and I partake of the Lord's Supper, you know, I just think about, man, this cracker tastes really good, or this bread tastes really good. I'm glad we're doing it this way. Or do I focus on the broken body of Christ? Do I focus on the blood? Hey, that grape juice swab, I was just able to wash that down. That was nice. Nice little snack. Or am I really focusing on the blood? Well, Terry's up there talking. When in the world is he going to get finished? My question is, what is going on in you? What's going on in me? You see, what God wants to go on is this. He wants us spiritually bowed down on our face in worshiping Him. He wants us to submit our lives, our all, in true worship to Him. It's an attitude of us affirming the superiority of God. Is that not right? We're telling God, we're elevating you when I bow down. I'm lifting you up, God, because I need to remove myself. We're saying that, God, you are far greater than we are, and we recognize that. By the way, if nothing else has gotten your attention today, maybe you should let this one, let's get our attention. Turn. What does God think about worship? Turn in your Bibles to Amos. Not a book we spend a lot of time in, right? The book of Amos. Amos chapter 5, verses 21 through 27. Thank you to whoever put the new clock up there, by the way. Amos 5, 21 through 27. Please listen to these words. I despise your feast days. Now, let me tell you what their feast days were. Days of worship. Their feast days were days of worship, right? God said, this is not Amos, this is God speaking through Amos, said, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. Nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise, not praise, the noise of your songs. For I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. But let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. Did you offer me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? You also carried Sikketh your king and Chion your idols, the star of your gods. You hear what he said? He said, for 40 years you worshiped me in the wilderness, but you also brought your idol and your false god. That's why I hate it. You can't bow down to the idols and bow down to God. He won't accept it. Therefore, I will send you into captivity beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Sounds to me in this passage, the Israelites needed their fire lit, and He was lighting it when it came to worship. They were going through the motions, folks. They were going through the motions. They were bringing sacrifice to Him, but they were also bringing their false gods and their idols. And He said, I hate that. I despise that. It leads me to ask this. How am I worshiping God? Make it personal. Has my worship became just a routine I go through? I will not pick on anyone. Actually, I will. Justin. Did you brush your teeth this morning? He gave me thumbs up for those who are watching at home and can't see that. Justin, did you have to think about, I need to get up this morning and brush my teeth? How old are you now, Justin? I know that. You're 33 years old. He's 10 years younger than me. Justin, for 33 years, your mom's sitting behind you, your dad, when you were little, your kid size, they told you, and you know, but eventually it became a routine, didn't it? I'm guessing Justin's not the only one. If you did not brush your teeth this morning, you don't have to confess that. Just don't get real close to him. No, I'm just kidding. Eat them in first. But the point is, why did Justin not have to think about brushing his teeth this morning? Because he's in a routine. You don't have to think about things. I put my contacts in and I brush my teeth every single morning. Every single morning. In fact, I got up early this morning. Did that right off the bat. Then when it's time to go in and get the rest of shave and shower and do all the rest of that stuff, I went to put my contacts in again and brush my teeth again. You know why? Because I'm in such a routine. I'd already done it, though. Some of us have been worshiping here a long time. Has it become a routine? That I just come in, check it off, sing my songs, pray my prayers. I'm looking at my clock right now. It's 5:00. We're about to get out of here. Don't think that that's true. But, you know, I know what time we get out and I know what time we go home. Amos, God said they were in a routine. And he said, I hate it. I despise it. Number two, has it become just a ritual we go through? The Jews got into a routine because they felt it was part of their religious ritual that they had to do. Maybe we sometimes get caught up with lackadaisical worship because we feel it's just a, hey, something I have to do. I've got to go there. I've got to do this. We've got to go to church. We've got to go to Sunday school. We've got to. When we say it that way, it becomes a ritual. Now, this is a privilege. This is a blessing. This is a fire that needs to burn deep within us. What if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had allowed their worship to become a ritual? What if they'd have just been caught up with some kind of routine? Is it a routine? Is it a ritual? It better be, thirdly, about our relationship. Listen to this. Priorities on God and people. I've read this before, but it's worth reading again. Priorities on God and people have been replaced. America, right? Listen to where we are. Priorities on God and people have been replaced by values on money, success, possessions, technology, progress, and self. As a result, we have gotten what we value. Money, worldly success, possessions, technology, progress, and selfishness. And we have lost what we did not value. God and His people. We have lost significant relationships. Worship is not a social gathering. The church is not a social club. However, worship ought to be based on our relationship to God, and it should have us involved in wonderful relationships with one another. I know it's not a social club, and it's not some social gathering, but man, I look forward to seeing my friends at church. I love that part of it, the relationship part. If I don't have a relationship with God, then I don't have any leg to stand on when it comes to true worship. Here's another question. When it comes to my elevating my worship, is God the audience? I'm afraid that sometimes we get caught up in the concept that we are at worship to be entertained. I'm not saying all the time, but I believe that there is at least a portion of people that at least for a moment say, well, I wasn't entertained enough. What do you mean by that, Terry? Well, if the song leader, and Jason, I think you did a great job. I don't know music. I just think it sounded great. I mean, I can read up and down, but I can't read music. I don't know, you know, pitch pipes and all that stuff. I don't know that. To me, it sounded awesome. But there may be, and Jason, I don't think there is, but there may be some that said, that song was a little off. Or that song wasn't fast enough. Or that song wasn't slow enough. Or that song was this and that and blah, blah, blah. At least at that moment, you know what I've forgotten? That it's not about me. It's not about my ears. It's not about how I feel. Because of this reasoning. Now, I don't believe my job's in jeopardy, and I know Justin's job's not in jeopardy. But ministers and youth ministers are getting fired because they weren't exciting enough or they didn't entertain the young people enough. Because of this attitude, churches are splitting and dividing. They're bringing in all kinds of non-Bible approved approaches in their worship. Because of this attitude, people reach spiritual burnout and or quit coming or search for some other denomination because they just didn't have a good feeling during the worship service. I believe God has put it on my heart to remind us all today. We are not and never will be the audience. God is. God is. God is why we worship. Let's all remember that it doesn't matter how off pitch someone may be, or it doesn't matter how boring someone may be, it matters how I prostrate myself before God. Finally, this morning the question has to be, well, am I daily devoted to God? We must start out every week in submission to God with true worship. That's why we started on the first day of the week. However, Jesus also taught in Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Say it, church. Daily. And follow me. This means that worship, even if it is true worship, is not enough just to do it on Sunday. Why do we struggle in personal daily devotion to God? Is that a good question? First of all, because we are a people of struggle. We have trouble disciplining ourselves to do anything regularly. What about exercising? Everybody starts out with the right intentions, right? Hey, man, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. All of a sudden, we're like, why am I paying for this gym membership? Boy, that treadmill surely is a great clothes rack. Or fill in whatever blank. No, we're going to do it daily. No, well, we struggle. Well, dieting. Man, I'm going on a diet, and maybe first few days I'm real this and that, and all of a sudden somebody puts some Oreos or something out and we just can't help ourselves. Well, maybe that's me at least. cleaning the house. We could go on down the road, right? We struggle with doing anything daily. Second, sometimes this is a daily struggle because we are busy people. We work, we go to school, we have kids, we've got to get groceries, we've got to cook, we've got to clean, we've got to do all these other things. I get it. We're busy, busier than we've ever been probably in the history of the world. Thirdly, sometimes we struggle because we do not devote daily quiet time to God every day. God taught us in Scripture to be still and know that He is God. Maybe a final point is this. Because in our idle times away from God, we may be filling our minds with trashy stuff. Just last night, one of our new members here, I will not embarrass them, but I was saying that I wanted to get, they're such an encourager. This person's such an encourager. Encourager around everybody, their friends or strangers or whoever they are. I want to be more like them, really. But I even made the joke. I saw them. We had a group of folks in a restaurant, and we saw them in this restaurant. And we were kind of just joking with one another. And I said, hey, no, I came here because I want to get in your daily shrine of encouragement on Facebook. They're always posting something about a great friend or great this and that. And they said, you may not know this, but a few weeks ago you talked about taking the trash out. I said, I got rid of my Facebook. Boy, that just, I love that. And that made, they said, that made an, this is a new member here. It made such an impact on me. But sometimes we got to get rid of the trashy stuff. But if not, our idle time is going to be filled with trash. If a person, I've used this quote many times here, if a person is getting drunk with alcohol, smoking cigarettes, eating high cholesterol food, not getting enough sleep, and under a lot of stress, then taking a one-a-day multivitamin is going to do them very little good. What we all get out of a half-hour session with God will largely depend on what we're doing with ourselves the other 23 and a half hours a day. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Back to them. They did not bow down to the face of that image. Because, number one, they had a fire for the Father. Number two, they were faithful even if it meant the furnace. Number three, they were friends who stood firm because they stood on the firm foundation. Fire for the Father, faithful even if it meant the furnace. Friends who stood firm on the firm foundation. Today, when it comes to our worship, where's the fire? It's burning somewhere. It's either burning for God or it's burning for the idols. Where is it burning today? Am I faithful every day to my Father, even if I'm faced with a world that's trying to get me to bow down? Am I standing on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ? Today, it's come a point in time in the lesson when we've got to examine ourselves. We've got to ask ourselves, how am I worshiping God? Am I going through a routine, a ritual? Is it a relationship? Is God the audience of my life? Am I here to entertain Him? Am I doing it every day? The answer to all that is yes. Then keep on keeping on. But if the answer is no in any way, whether you need to become a child of the King, or you need to make things right now, or even in your seat, let's do it as together we stand and sing.